Today, I want to talk about the lessons that are found in the TV show Ted Lasso. Has anyone watched the show at all? Just a few. It's on Apple TV. And it's the kind of show that is endearing in a way that one doesn't expect. It has won multiple Emmy Awards, and it is played, Ted Lasso is the lead character, played by Jason Sudeikis. And there is, if you're offended by language, do not watch the show. But if that's okay with you and you can sort of put that aside, there is amazing wisdom to be found in this story. Excuse me. It's about a coach, a football coach from the United States. I don't want to give too much away, but from the United States, who is brought in to run a football club in England. And of course, he knows absolutely nothing about football, soccer style versus American style football. And so he walks into this football club, and the whole idea behind it is that it's not going to succeed because this apparently inept coach who knows nothing at all about football is going to lead this club. The coach himself, Ted Lasso, is kind of understated and very likable, very innocent, and as I said, apparently inept. And the story kind of evolves, and I don't want to give too much away, but what I do want to say is whether you watch the show, intend to watch the show, will never watch the show, there is wisdom that is found in that show that as I was watching, I'm like, oh, that's a good line, that's a good line. And so for the next 3 weeks, I'm just going to pick one of the lessons from Lasso. It's 3 seasons long. And today I want to talk about a scene in which a player, now these are professional football players, so they are already good players. And this one of the guys does something and he messes up. And it's during practice, and he messes up, and he's really upset at himself. And in the scene, you can see like the level of upset that he has. And of course, one of his not-so-helpful teammates basically makes fun of him. And another teammate says, just a minute. And coach from the side says, come on over. And the coach says to him, you know who the happiest animal in the world is? A goldfish. Why? It's got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish. Get out there. And I was watching this and I was like, wow, that's so awesome. Be a goldfish. I thought, this is something that I can use. And I'm sure that it's something that we can all use. Because hasn't it been true that there are times that we've been good at something, that maybe we've shown some promise at something, or even excelled to the point of being professional at something, and then we've run into a hiccup or an obstacle of some kind. And what is our first reaction? To do exactly what this character did, to get down on ourselves, to move into a place of punishment for ourselves. As soon as we judge ourselves as good or bad, because of what we've done, how we're doing it, there's a sense that we lose confidence. that we lose focus, that we start feeling disappointed and dejected and kind of down on ourselves. It's a form of self-hate. And I don't know how many of you follow Wimbledon. I know Alexandra here does. But if you watched the final, the Wimbledon final this year, you would have seen two amazing tennis players. And Chris is watching too. And Novak Djokovic was the clear favorite to win. And he won the first set with absolutely no trouble at all. And then somewhere along the line, his opponent got the better of him. There was an unforced error, another unforced error, and so on. And you could almost see the self-talk going on. And then at one point, he was so upset that he took his racket and whacked it on the net, the posts that hold the net, and broke the racket, which was very unlike him. But in my mind, I kept hearing, be a goldfish. Do what you know that you know to do, which is be the best tennis player in the world. And don't let all that other stuff get in the way, because it's wrecking your focus. The invitation of this idea to be a goldfish is to stay in the moment, to remember the joy of playing, to remember to trust that you've got this. One of the other characters, one of his favorite lines is, football is life. And actually the show, if I were to think about it and tease it out, is actually a metaphor for life. And all these different players are the players in our heads that are like, yeah, go for it. Yeah, you're horrible. Yeah, no, you can't, you shouldn't. But that's another talk. The idea, though, is to not be so hung up on the thing that you've just made a mistake about that it cripples you in the moment and prevents you from stepping into the joy of the experience that you know and love. And so often, how many writers and actors and musicians and singers are walking the streets because even though they can sing, they messed up once, or they forgot a word, or they forgot a line on stage, and it was embarrassing. Of course it's embarrassing. But can we allow for the imperfection that is part of our experience and be a goldfish? I think of the story of Adam and Eve. Remember that story in Genesis? And how they were cast out of the peace and contentment and heavenly experience of Eden. Why? Because they ate from the only thing that God told Adam not to do. And what was that? To eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not good and evil. the knowledge of good and evil. What does that mean? For me, it implies that there is, as soon as we move into a place of judgment, the knowledge that something is good or something is bad, we are cast out of paradise. As soon as we judge, and we judge ourselves more harshly than others will ever judge us, as soon as we do that, we have eaten out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What if we just knew it was there and acted like goldfish? What if we didn't judge anything as good and evil because it's all God? And sometimes life will be great and sometimes it won't. And sometimes we'll perform just the way we practiced and sometimes we won't. And sometimes we'll do something 999 times, sinking that basketball, and in the time that it counts, because the whole championship is landing and counting on us to do it, that's the time we're going to fail. Does that mean that we are any less? The mind field of our judgments can cast us into hell. And so sometimes ignorance truly can be bliss. So why don't we? We know that when we judge ourselves, that we cast ourselves out of the joy of the moment that we love. I mean, nobody goes into any of these sports or professions because they don't like it. They love what they do. So if we know that we love what we do, and we know we do it 999 times out of every 1,000, we know we're able to, then why are we so hard on ourselves? I think the reason is because we have this little protector in our brain that looks out for us and says, hey, I care about you, and I'm not going to do anything that might cause you to be exposed and embarrassed or made fun of or harmed in some way. And so instead of trusting that this was an exception and perhaps just learning from it, the protector says, ooh, that hurt you. Well, I remember when something hurt you that was similar 30, 40, 50 years ago, and you've carried that for a long time, so I'm not going to let that happen to you again. And so our protector says, run away. Walk off the field. Buy in to the voice in your head that is saying, you're not good enough to do this. And if we listen to that protector, which is doing its job, then we allow ourselves to be limited. The thing is that the protector has no understanding that what happened 30, 40 years ago that created a feeling of fear in us is not the same circumstance as we might have be experiencing today. The level of fear may be there, or the disappointment might be there, or the, oh, I wonder if I'm good enough for this, might be there. But what the protector doesn't realize is that you're grown up now, and you don't have to be protected in the same way. It just feels the feeling and says, shut it down. And our job is to be a goldfish. Our job is to say, thank you for your concern. And I acknowledge that you're trying to help me. And I'm going to do it anyway. So what are some of the strategies for this? First, allow for imperfection. We're not robots, and even robots screw up. So doesn't it make sense that there are going to be times that we're going to not operate as well as other times when we operate? Allow for imperfection. It will help to reduce not just your vulnerability to other people's criticism, but also reduce your own, your self-criticism. And this implies a level of forgiveness. And Jesus said, we should forgive each other, not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. Forgiveness, I think it's Lily Tomlin who said, forgiveness is giving up all hope for a different past. Yes, it happened. And now what? Second idea, act like a child. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, Jesus says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Have you ever watched children? Sometimes it truly is like they have 10-second memories. They eke out joy out of everything. And when they suffer intently, and the whole world knows about it, until something distracts them, and then they go and eke out joy again. And last night, I was at the White Rock Sea Festival. And I've never seen so many people in White Rock at one time. And I've gone to just about every festival I can. And there was fireworks, and there was music. And it was so interesting to see the children. Because they would be, when the band was playing, they're up there giving her, like dancing, like no one's watching. And then we see the elders, as in me, giving her and dancing like no one's watching, because there's so many people that it felt completely safe. And in between, there are the teenagers. And the teenage boys were stoic. And you could see their moms and their grandparents, mainly their moms, trying to get them to move. And that was not happening. What happens? What happens, I think, is that we hold on to someone making fun of us. Someone saying, oh, that looks silly, not appropriate. What if they could be like goldfish? If they knew the song words, especially the newer songs, which again, I admit, I don't know. Then they sing along if the band invites them. It was really interesting to watch. And what I realized as I was thinking about this whole talk is that one of the keys for us is to try to move and move in the direction from should to could. I should hit every basketball not going to happen. I should make whatever tackle, not going to happen. Could lightens it a little bit. Makes it okay. Notice the good. Have you noticed that we have a tendency to focus on the negative? It is a human thing. It is the protector's job. So the protector looks at everything all the time and goes, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Oh, that could be a problem. And that's what we focus on. Well, that tendency to forget the beauty and the skill that we have is what I think cost Novak the championship. Because he got so into his head. What if you had no reference for judgment? That something was silly or something was a failure? What if you just accepted that sometimes things would go better and sometimes they aren't? And your goal is to move from I should do it perfectly every single time to I could move the needle a little bit. Relax. You're human. And if I wanted to leave you with this idea, which is the idea of a 10-second memory is not something that we're patterned to do. We're patterned to do everything the way we've always done it. And so I'm going to encourage you, if you try this, first notice that there will be tension in yourself as you step away from, this is the way I've always done it, therefore I must do it this way. So if you come to something with a beginner's mind, it can sometimes be very uncomfortable. And I'm going to draw on another lesson from Lasso, which is, quote, taking on a challenge is a lot like riding a horse, isn't it? If you're comfortable while you're doing it, you're probably doing it wrong. Stretch your comfort zone. Stretch your comfort zone and challenge whether your reaction is patterned or fresh. And so, learn from Lasso. When you feel dejected because something isn't working out the way you'd imagined, remember that there will be missteps. There will be imperfection. Have a 10-second memory. And how do you do that? Learn from Jesus. Forgive yourself. Come as a child. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And appreciate the skill that you have already. And in the words of the old song, to find joy, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, say it, finish it with me, start all over again. Have a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish. I bless you.